Yes, it is ESPN Upstate, and yes, it is the Rob Brown Show. Hello, Upstate South Carolina. How do you do? Happy Thursday afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us. I am, of course, Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, back on the ones and twos at the Palatial ESPN Upstate Studios. So glad to have you along for the ride with us today. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text us at 71307, 71307. Start your text with ESPN so we get them and read them on the air. Tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo on Word, at ESPN Upstate. Let's dive right into this conversation, Lonzo. College football's got a major problem. I don't care how you dice it up. You can come up with every excuse in the books that you want to come. I'll even give you every single variable that you want to throw at me for the reason why. But when I look at the television ratings that just came out for college football over the past 24 hours, the week of January 11th through 17th's ratings have been released. And when you look at the top 10, first off, it's all sports. I mean, TV had a bunch of big shows that came out during that same week. You had not only that, but keep in mind, that was less than a week after the attacks on the Capitol. That was during the time span of a second impeachment hearing against former President Donald J. Trump. That was with a number of shows. Celebrity Wheel of Fortune made its debut. Chicago Med, Chicago Fire, and Chicago PD, all three shows that play off of each other, had enormous episodes. NCIS Los Angeles dropped another big episode. This Is Us, which has been one of the most watched and loved shows on TV over the past few years, dropped a new episode. The Chase with Ken Jennings debuted. NCIS New Orleans dropped its first new episode in a while. All of those shows checked in behind a bunch of football. In fact, the six most watched television programs of the week from the 11th through the 17th, all of them were football games or football related. But what's interesting to me is that college football's national championship game, the biggest game of the year in college football, the one game that usually all of us are going to watch regardless of whether or not our team is involved with it, got squashed by two NFL games. I mean, squashed by a pair of NFL games. It also, according to the ratings, was just barely ahead of not two NFL games, but two pre- and post-game shows. The NFL's pregame show on Sunday did just 200,000 viewers fewer than NCAA's football national championship. The NFC post-game show on Fox did 18 million, just a half million fewer than college football's national championship game. So we're going to talk about it. I'll give you every variable. It's a Monday night. There was play. All these different reasons. At the end of the day, getting half of an NFL playoff game. And don't get me wrong, super attractive playoff game. Two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. You knew it was the last ride of Drew Brees. It may or may not be Brady's last opportunity. He had to beat one of the GOATs to make it. We can put every reason and excuse on the table as to why this happened. I don't care. The fact that college football's national championship did half the numbers of an NFL division around playoff game, dude, that's bad news for college football, right?
Yeah, it is. And it's surprising because, well, for one thing, everyone who has said that the NFL is dead and dying, they're wrong.
Yup.
And the NFL, through all the turmoil and everything, the NFL is still bit. That's my sport. That's the one that I watch. College is in there, but NFL has always been number one to me. And in this area, college football is bigger than the NFL. And you know that most college towns, it's probably like that. So it's a surprise. And I know that part of it is people tired of the same three or four teams, but this is the first time Ohio State's been in the national championship game in a while. I don't know. Would a playoff fix this? I don't know if it necessarily would, but I don't think it would hurt it. I mean, an expanded playoff.
Yeah. So here's the first, and I thought about this when we were talking expanded playoffs. And for the record, before we even go down this path, I want to make it very clear. I'm in favor of an expanded playoffs. I think an 18 playoff is the minimum. I think we should go to 8, right? We won't necessarily get into the ins and outs of all of our plans for a playoff, but I think an 8-game playoff is the way to go. I've told you that before.
One thing about that, it would have been immediate, and it would have been ongoing for a while, and instead of happening the way it does now with the two games on New Year's and all that, at least you would have some more games to lead into the national championship game, and I think that would help it.
Yeah, we're adding 1 week. We're adding 1 week.
As long as take those extra days away. Let's make it the same amount of time in between games. Add that extra week. It adds intrigue. It adds more of the country into the conversation, especially if you are same four teams over and over again. Well, you add four more, you're adding more of the country to it.
That is exactly correct. And I'm gonna say this. Number one, 4-18 playoff. Here's the thing. I don't know if it would fix the playoff fatigue, right? I don't know if it would fix it because if we put our 18 playoff into play this year, right, our five conference champs alongside two at-larges and a group of five auto bid, right? So let's say it would have gone to Cincinnati this year or Coastal Carolina or whoever. That team lines up in the 8 seed against Alabama, whatever. Here's the reality we face. Likely, we still would have had Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State in the Final Four. Maybe Notre Dame would have been able to snag a dub as the AACC champion. And we know, and this is one thing that's going to be a problem, one of those auto bids is, it's almost going to be Notre Dame every year if they continue to have regular season success like they had. But you likely would have still had the same Final Four, but the group before that would at least give us an opportunity. Now, the second thing is, it sucks for college football that their national championship game is the same weekend as the NFL's wild card round. Because you can't do anything about it, right? You can't do anything about it. The only suggestion that I would have for you would be to move college football's national championship game up a week and have it up against week 17 and just hope every year that whatever NFL game you bump up. But the problem is, as we've mentioned in the past, I wrote a blog on this a couple of weeks ago. You can still find it on ESPNUpstate.com. The other problem that you find yourself bumping into in that spot, unfortunately, is that ESPN is not going to put that championship game up against an NFL game. Not because they think they can't beat it. They're not going to put it up in an NFL game because ESPN has been working diligently to create a good, positive relationship with the NFL. And the minute you threaten to take away a single viewer from the NFL, well, that, friends, that's the minute that the NFL is going to get all angry at ESPN. Remember, ESPN's biggest property right now, without a doubt, is Monday Night Football, and they are not going to put that at jeopardy. I don't know that there is a fix for that, if we are being honest. I don't know that there is a fix for that. I can't come up with one despite my most stringent efforts. Maybe on a Thursday night. I mean, everybody's used to college football on a Thursday night. Maybe you move the national championship game to the Thursday night of the week that it's traditionally been on. Thursday night's a little bit better for television viewing. Most people are not going out on Thursday night. Monday night's people are trying to catch up from the weekend, trying to catch up with the work overload they got on Monday. Thursday night, usually people are settled in, makes it a little bit easier. But here's what I do know. I'm not a smart man. I'm having trouble coming up with solutions. But college football has an issue, and these ratings showed it. They showed it. I mean, they could still charge an arm and a leg, but they are losing out on revenue for all of college football, revenue that they desperately need right now. And if you've got solutions, whether it's a better way to ensure that there's more parity in the top four, whether it's a way to schedule the college football national championship on a better night of the week that's more conducive to bigger television numbers, whatever you need to do. So if I'm college football, it is unacceptable to me to be beating an NFL pregame show by less than a quarter million viewers. It is unacceptable to me that an NFL division around playoff game doubled my national championship numbers, even if it was a very special playoff game, doubled the numbers. That is a problem to me if I'm college football. You got to come up with a way to fix it, though. But I got to tell you, the more I think about it, the more I realize I don't think I have an answer.
Well, yeah, I don't have an answer either. And the other thing is college football is slow to do anything, to fix anything. We had BCS forever before we finally got the 14 playoff, and they did that reluctantly. So them figuring out what is wrong, by the time they figure that out, it will either fail completely or fix itself, because they are very slow going. The processes and everything that they go through to try to decide anything, I don't see them fixing it anytime soon.
A couple of texts that have come in on this very topic. It's 71307. Start your text with ESPN. At ESPN, I think there was a general college football malaise this year due to the pandemic and lots of traditional powers struggling, LSU, Michigan, Penn State, etc. The four teams in the playoffs were highly uninteresting except to fans of those teams, and the champion was inevitable. I'm totally into expansion, but I think this was an aberrant year, and this text completely ignores the fact that no sport challenges the NFL's ratings. We lose sight of that sometimes. In the South, that's from Jeffrey in Spartanburg. Jeffrey, appreciate that text, buddy. And I think you've nailed a couple of things here. Number one, I do think, and that is maybe a variable that I didn't put as much weight on at the beginning of this conversation as perhaps I should have, Lonzo. And that is the pandemic, man. I mean, look, the pandemic impacted everybody, and it impacted college football in a very weird way. Even though we were very glad and grateful to have college football, it certainly did not feel like a regular year in college football. And I got to wonder if there were some people that just went, you know what, this isn't a real year of college football. And since it's not a real year of college football, I'm not as interested in it as I typically would be. I'd be good with that, except for these are dramatic shifts, right? This isn't like 10 or 12% of the country decided I'm not in. And on top of that, if that was the case, then that I would assume that would extrapolate to other sports as well. The NBA certainly took a ding in the numbers as well, but the NFL didn't. The NFL's numbers are pretty consistent, and that leads to Jeffrey's second thought, which is that, and this is true, in all my experience broadcasting in different parts of the country, I've broadcasted around the South physically, but I've guest hosted and co-hosted on different shows in different parts of the country. And when you start getting out of the South, and even forget the South, when you start getting into bigger cities, even if you go down to Jacksonville, Florida, a place that I was on the air for a while, you go down to Jacksonville, Florida, you are an hour and 45 minutes from Gainesville. You're an hour and 45 minutes from Florida State. You're an hour, I guess, about 3.5 hours from Georgia. You are right in the heart of ACC and SEC country. But if you listen to the radio down in Jacksonville, it's all Jags almost all the time. There's a good Florida fan base. They get on the radio. There's an okay FSU base. They get on the radio. But if you're in Jacksonville, it's all Jags almost all the time. You go to Atlanta, you're just a couple of hours away from Athens, Georgia, where the Bulldogs play. Georgia Tech's in your backyard in Atlanta. But if you go to Atlanta, the talk is Falcons and a little bit of Hawks, and that's it. Go up to New York City, again, right up there in the north side of ACC country. It's all Giants, Jets, Yankees, and Mets. That's all they talk about. Go to L.A., you go to Los Angeles, you got a lot of good Pac-12 football out there. UCLA is right there. USC is right there. But you go to LA, it's all Rams and Dodgers and Lakers and Clippers. That's it. That's it. In every part of the country outside of the South, professional sports take the cake. That's just the way it is. It's not traditionally the way it's done in the South, but that's, 15 to 20% of the country. It's not the norm anywhere else. But like I said, all of that, we can throw all of that into the mix, Lonzo. It still doesn't, to me, take the concern away from college football's numbers dropping for their postseason play and getting doubled up on by the NFL. I know that the difference between NFL and college fans is not enough, and there's plenty of bleed over that it shouldn't be double the audience, though.
Yeah, if anything, I think people going into this year, the way it was going with going into last year with COVID, would have thought that NFL, with, you know, the controversies that were going on there, would have been the sport that dropped and college football would have been up. But I've been thinking, you know, even before the text came in, the fact that fans weren't allowed to go to the games and it's like, why would that affect ratings? I think it does affect ratings because it affects interest. The college football fans, that's a way of life for them, to tailgate and all that kind of stuff. And they're watching everything about their team. I think if you can't go to the game, you're not watching the game because you're missing the experience that you would have had and have had handed down from generation to generation. Saturday, we go to Clemson. Saturday, we go to the Gamecocks, or we go to whatever team that you root for, and you can't do that. So you're left with going, well, I could watch it on TV, but it hurts too much to watch it on TV because it reminds me of what I can't do, and maybe that factors in.
844-GSP, ESPN, 844-477-3776 is the number. Text us at 71307. Start your text with ESPN so we can read it on the air. At ESPN, Clemson will be back easily next year. So will Alabama. Same old, but go Tigers. I love that he's like, yeah, Clemson's going to be back. Dang it, go Tigers. And that's the other thing. And the problem with that, Lonzo, is, you know, I've heard people say we need to create a way to create more parity in college football, but you're not going to be able to do that. Right? The NCAA is not going to be able to do that. The day that they start laying down regulations and guidelines to create more parity, college football fans are going to lose their mind. The individuality of schools and programs between one to the next is part of the reason that college football fans prefer college football to the NFL. So if you do what the NFL does and you enact a strict set of rules that every program must act under, it takes away from the individuality of those programs, even if it would be guaranteed to increase parity. And I think traditionalist pure college football fans would riot about that.
Absolutely. And, you know, trying to think of what they could do to create parity. I mean, one of the things you could do is you can limit the amount of 5 stars and 4 stars on teams. I mean, you could do that and try to water it down to that point where more teams get a shot at those kind of players. But could they actually that's the only thing I could think of that would change the way things are right now. And then after that, I mean, then you'll have the institutes that put out those ratings deciding to make a guy who's a 4-star, a 3-star, so the bigger teams can pick him up. There is no solution.
844-GSP, ESPN, 844-477-3776 is the number to be a part of the program. Text us 71307. Start your text with ESPN. Do you have a solution? College football got ransacked in the ratings of last week on television by the NFL, the third most watched program. And there's nothing to sneeze at, 18.5 million. But the Bucs-Saints game turned almost twice that. The Bills-Ravens game almost turned, a third and some change more than that. And it barely beat out the pregame show on NBC and the postgame show on Fox. So with that being said, college football fans, are you concerned with college football's ratings on television? Do you care about college football ratings on television? And do you have any solutions for college football to enact in order to fix what I think is a major problem? Quick break. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
T- T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's ESPN Upstate, 97.7 FM Greenville, 97.1 FM Spartanburg, all around the world on the radio.com app. Put it on all of your digital devices and don't miss a moment of programming here on ESPN Upstate. And, of course, use our Radio Rewind feature to listen to every minute that you miss of our two local shows, The Rob Brown Show with Rob and Lonzo, Offsides with Mark Ryan and Diesel, and go to our website, ESPNUpstate.com, updated every day with the sports news that you need to know as an upstate South Carolina sports fan. And, of course, on top of that, our podcast section is right there on the homepage if you miss a minute of our local shows. Every hour is podcasted almost immediately after they air, with a description of what was talked about. If you miss a second of our local programming, go to the podcast section, download those podcasts hour by hour, commercial free. Listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it. Take us with you to the gym, out on your jog, to your oil change while you're sitting out front of your kid's school waiting to pick them up. Whatever it is, go to ESPNUpstate.com to pull those numbers. All right, a little bit of breaking news in college football as the University of Tennessee has elected to hire Central Florida Athletic Director Danny White as their new AD. Breaking news brought to you, by the way, of course, by our friends at Mercedes-Benz Vans. Mercedes-Benz Vans, see how far an extra mile can go. The school has not yet announced the hire. It is expected to become official any minute now, as a matter of fact. The deal with White had long been, the deal with White comes after, obviously, Danny White's immense success at UCF. He has long been considered one of the top young administrators in college sports. It comes 3 days after Tennessee cleaned house at the top of its athletic department. They fired head football coach Jeremy Pruitt. They parted ways with athletics director and former head coach Philip Fulmer. And this is a quick move to fill that office. The new AD signals that Tennessee will be aggressive about searching for a new football coach. Likely means that Kevin Steele, who was named interim head coach for the Volunteers, will not spend a season in that position. Whether or not he becomes the head coach is yet to be seen. But here's what we know about Danny White. Danny White has is a young guy. He's only 41 years old. But again, I can tell you from having been so close to UCF during the time that I was broadcasting down in Florida, they love this cat. Brought on board in 2015 as the AD, replaced George O'Leary in that position. Also served as the executive vice president for the University of Central Florida Athletics Association, a nonprofit corporation responsible for the administration and financial management and responsibility of the athletic program. White oversaw the hiring of Coach Scott Frost, who obviously is at Nebraska now, had a phenomenal time there at UCF. In 2017, UCF ended up going undefeated. They did not get an invite to the playoffs that year, leading them to go ahead and claim, if only in spirit, the 2017 national championship, a championship that Alabama would win. In addition to Frost hiring, White's administration oversaw the hiring of current men's basketball coach Johnny Dawkins, baseball coach Greg Lovelady, and current football coach Josh Heupel, a guy that they have huge expectations for as well. And in 2016, he and South Florida Bulls AD Mark Harlan oversaw the creation of the War on I-4, the series between UCF and USF. They rebranded that, and it got very hot very quickly. This is a tremendous hire for the University of Tennessee. I love this hire for the University of Tennessee, and here's why. After everything that went down with the Pruitt regime there in Tennessee, you knew good and gosh darn well there are going to be a handful of slaps on the wrist coming for the University of Tennessee from the NCAA. I would not be shocked to hear of a 1 or 2 year bowl ban for Tennessee, probably a good chunk of recruiting restrictions, scholarship restrictions, etc. Tennessee went from being arguably the most attractive available head coaching job in the country after Jeremy Pruitt's firing down to one of the least attractive jobs. And the level of attractiveness obviously is going to be dependent on what punishments end up getting handed down to Tennessee in the very near future. This athletics director hire is an enormous one. This is big. This guy in Danny White is a guy that college football fans down in Florida have been looking at for a while. As a matter of fact, both Florida and Florida State have kept an eye on him very closely to bring him in as their new AD if and when their current deals with their new current ADs end up going by the wayside. This is a big hire for Tennessee, and the fact that Danny White decided to take this on as a challenge is immensely helpful to the University of Tennessee. The Volunteers now have a guy in there who has been not only adept at making really good hires for just about every sport during his time down there at UCF, but on top of that is a dude that college football coaches are going to look at and want to have as a boss. They are going to want to work for Danny White. He is the dude that is going to attract the coach that they have been unable to do so under Phil Fulmer. Phil Fulmer was an old school guy who did things the old school way, and he didn't give a damn what anybody thought or how the sport of college football had been changing over the years. He didn't care less about what anybody else thought. And you may not like it, you may not love it, but as Nick Saban has pointed out routinely lately, if you want to succeed at this level, you have to adapt as quickly as college football is adapting. The Alabama team that won the title this year did not win a title in the traditional Nick Saban way of grind it out defense and run the ball offense. It was not, as they call it on Twitter, joyless murder ball, which has been with Saban's style of football for years. This year, that offense was explosive. It was high flying. They went up in the air big time, and very, very quickly, he adapted. He changed, which is what you have to do to succeed at this level in college football. Danny White is the type of cat that is the next evolution of college football. This is an incredible hire for that position for Tennessee. By the way, we thought Danny White was going to be a lifetime guy down at UCF. He had just, like a few months ago, purchased what he told the media down there was his dream house. He had just not terribly long ago signed an extension with UCF to stay on board. They thought he was a lifer. So whatever Tennessee has got going on to attract him out of that position with the Golden Knights and bring him up to take over as the head man in charge for the Volunteers, it's incredible. That is a huge, huge hire for them. Zoe, I don't know if you have any thoughts on this, man, but I got to tell you, South Carolina's competition in the SEC East, it may be 2 or 3 years down the road after whatever punishments get handed to Tennessee for the Jeremy Pruitt administration, but South Carolina's road to an SEC Eastern Division title under Shane Beamer just got much more difficult, in my opinion.
Well, you know, it says a lot about Danny White as a person being willing to take on this challenge because of the repercussions that probably are coming for all the things, the reason why they cleaned house. So, like you said, possibly a bowl ban. I would say I would be shocked if there isn't a bowl ban for a couple years. And so what? So you're going into a position where you're probably not going to have postseason. So you're going to be building that program. I commend him for doing that, taking on this challenge, knowing what all is involved. And if he's successful, it can lead to even bigger things down the road.
Yeah, this is a big hire. Look, I'm still excited about South Carolina. I have come around on Shane Beamer. I am intrigued by Shane Beamer. I told you guys when it happened that I did not love the Beamer hire. I thought there were probably better guys out there that would have been more fitted and more ready for that position. But Everything I've heard from alumni, from boosters, from former players, et cetera, they are all in love with this cat. So I'm optimistic. I'm cautiously optimistic that he can be the guy that brings South Carolina into competition for the SEC East. But I got to tell you, man, the hiring of Danny White and his track record as an AD, his track record of hiring coaches, his track record top to bottom is all but phenomenal, is all but phenomenal. That 100% leads me to believe that Tennessee has just taken a major, major step towards returning to what Tennessee football used to do and set up what down the road will be a roadblock in front of Shane Beamer that makes his path to an SEC Eastern Division title that much more difficult. 844-GSP-ESPN, let's take a quick break. We'll come back here in just a minute on the Rob Brown Show. You're listening to ESPN Upstate. ESPN 844-477-3776. Text us 71307-71307. A couple of texts that have been coming in on the text line. Start your text with ESPN so we can read them on the air at ESPN. Let's see here. Lonzo, that's even true for watching at home. The fake crowd noise just didn't do it. If someone breaks off a big play, it's the explosion of the stadium that gets me hyped and turn my TV up to max volume. LOL. When it's quiet, it's boring. You know, so, and we talked about this last year, probably, I don't know, April, May, after the lockdown started, when they started talking about fake crowd noise. And what I said, Lonzo, was this, and now that we've had a handful of months to kind of grade out what I said, let's see how you feel about it. I said at the time that I was a little bit excited about sports without fans in attendance. But that's because I am a fan of sports. Like, I like the technical side of sports. I loved, in the bubble, being able to hear players chatter at each other and talk. I love to hear the smack talk on the field or on the court. I love to hear players calling out plays. During the MLS's back tournament, when they were playing MLS games down in Orlando, they didn't really pump in any crowd noise. And you could hear the players yelling at each other. You could hear the coaches calling out tactics. As a pure sports fan, I absolutely loved it. And I thought it made those sports better for the people who were a fan of the sport. Not the hype, not the glamour, not the glitz, not the pageantry, but the actual on the field, on the court competition between two teams. I thought it made it better for people who enjoyed that side of sports because we never really got that. We've never, at a professional level, really gotten to get the sport on an intimate level where there's no pyro, there's no smoke and fog and lasers, there's no hype music, there is nothing but the sound of the game, the same as if you went down to your local Y and listened to your coworkers play a pickup game. I love that for the sport, but I also knew good and gosh darn well that it would not be good for television ratings because a lot of people watch sports to be entertained, not by the sport, but by the overall environment. And even with pumped-in crowd noise, when you're watching these games with only a couple of thousand fans in the stands like they had down in Miami, the electricity of the game isn't there. It's just the game at that point. And that, I would be on board with that be a reason why the ratings were down, except for, again, the NFL's in the same boat, and they turned numbers. So that, I don't think that's a way to write off what the problem is.
Yeah, but the NFL is not a crowd-driven sport. I think the NFL has always been a TV-driven sport. I really do. And I've been to NFL games and college games, and the atmosphere is different. Now, granted, I haven't been to Arrowhead Stadium. I've heard that it's like a college atmosphere. The fact that they will compare certain NFL stadiums to college stadiums, it just lets you know how raucous and how crazy it is at a college stadium, and the fans mean more for college football. And I agree with what the texter was saying. That was kind of my point, the fact that these guys can't go to a game, so they turn on TV, and you can't get pumped up by the crowd because you're hearing that noise, and you know good and well it's not real. It's fake. It's piped in. And in some cases, whoever was controlling it had no idea how to do it correctly. And this is coming from a producer standpoint where you need to know where to, you know, throw in some booze here and that kind of stuff. Could have made it a little more creative. Maybe they should have watched wrestling. I don't know. But when it comes down to it, if there's no crowd for college football, it affects it a whole lot more.
71-307, the text line, 844-GSP-ESPN is the number to be a part of the program. Rob, did you see the U.S. women's national team game versus Colombia the other night? How about the Mewis sisters? Sam with a hat trick and Christy with the late goal. Awesome to watch and looking forward to tomorrow as they take on Colombia again. Yes, I did. I didn't get to watch the whole game. I watched the highlights of it. I do have it on the DVR to go back and watch the U.S. women's national team as they are. You know, they're kind of in the midst of the changing of the guard, man. You're seeing the some of the old names like Megan Rapinoe start to fall off. You know, obviously we had had some of the older players kind of start to make way. Alex Morgan just came back, if I remember, from maternity leave. I think she just had her baby a handful of months ago and got her first action. It's either in that game or the game before it. Again, I haven't gotten to watch the whole game. It's on the DVR. But yeah, big, big, big point of the year for the U.S. women's national team. And I appreciate that text in at 71307. And finally, at ESPN, did you try the purple sweet chili Doritos or not? I did not. And here's why. I am going to tonight do what we talked about yesterday. I talked about this back in the first hour. I have got a pepper grinder tonight. I'm going to buy me some ground beef. I'm going to buy me some Cool Ranch Doritos. I am going to pulverize those and then put what's remaining into a pepper grinder. I am then going to season my hamburgers this evening. I'm going to season my hamburgers this evening with the pulverized and grinded up Cool Ranch Dorito seasoning and see how that shakes up. I'm also going to get a small bag of the sweet chili Doritos as well, and I will snack on those while I am creating the burgers. Then I'll have the Cool Ranch Dorito burger for dinner tonight. I will put up a video of that when I make it tonight on ESPN Upstate. And on top of that, I'll have a full review for you tomorrow on the show. Yes, Zoe, a benchmark segment tomorrow is going to be cooking stoned with a sober Rob Brown. Let's see how it goes.
Wow, that sounds like a YouTube series right there.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. All right, 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Quick break. We come back. We wrap up our numeros right here on the Rob Brown Show. Rob, Lonzo, you. This is ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate, 844-GSP. ESPN's the number, 844-477-3776, the way to go to be a part of the show today. So the NBA is beefing up security. They have mentioned that they are going to be adding a couple new security guards to the sideline to prevent unnecessary interactions between players. And I'll tell you, one of the weirdest things to get used to, I was watching last night the Wake Forest North Carolina basketball game, which was a pretty good one overall. Steve Forbes, used to coach the Northwest Florida State Raiders, which were your JUCO national champions a couple of years back when Forbes was there down in Niceville, Florida, next to Fort Walton and Destin, where I'm from. Steve Forbes' Demon Deacons gave North Carolina a run for their money last night. The Tar Heels would ultimately end up winning 80-73. But one of the hardest things to get used to is the complete lack of interaction between athletes outside of the game itself and the coaches, too. Like, obviously, after games, we're used to the cameraman sprinting across the court to get a good picture of the two coaches meeting at half court and shaking hands. And now they all kind of The final whistle blows, the buzzer goes, and they just walk in and turn around and wave and walk to the locker room. So the NBA has said too much interaction between players. We need to minimalize the contact between players and between staff members to exclusively on the court play and nothing else. They have not talked about, they have not said whether casual player interaction such as pre- and post-game hugs, handshakes, and small talk has played a role in any of the outbreaks that the NBA has suffered, but the NBA did inform teams of the new measures yesterday because of a series of outbreaks of the coronavirus amongst teams, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. No word on whether or not they will start levying fines or other types of punishments for players who decide to go against guidelines. We do know that George Hill, the Cleveland Cavaliers star, last week said, if it's so bad that I can't go home and see my family, if it's so bad that I can't interact with my friends, then maybe we shouldn't be playing at all, and brought up a lot of controversy with those statements. So coming up in the next hour of the show, we'll take a deeper look at that and break that down. Plus, coming up at 2:20, the second segment of next hour, Lonzo brings us Fight Club, everything you need to know about combat sports. We'll take a look at this weekend's UFC 257 event, Dustin Poirier taking on Conor McGregor in his return to the octagon. Going to be a big one. Obviously, it's been a big few weeks in professional wrestling. Zo will bring us some news on that as well, and a whole lot more. All of that and more coming up in the final hour of the Rob Brown Show. Rob, Lonzo, and you, this is ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.